Shalom to all. Today's officer Shalmi Ervin, Daf Chav Gimel. We're starting by the sixth line at the two dots with the words Echat Roya, and if the only source of Daf is on Chav Bei Zomar Aleph, right at the top. And today's office sponsor Lili Nishmas Mars Merim Sarabas Yaakov Moshe. Her Nishama should have an Aliyah. And the Mishnah was discussing where a person had placed their heir of Tchumin in one area, and they might be in a different area, and perhaps the heir is not valid. The first case was where he put it on a tree above ten tefachim, and since the tree was a Rishus Hayachid and he's in Rishus Rabim, it's not a valid Eirov. And the next case was where he had placed it in a bar, and we had said that it is a valid Eirov. So the Gemara asks, and actually there's a girsa change here, Einat Roya Amek Kigvaya, you don't view the depth of the bar like the height of a tree, and the same way that when he places it 10 tefachim above the ground on a tree, it's considered like he and his Eirov are on two different Rishuyas, so it should be the same thing when we go into the ground. If he places it inside the bar is a Rishus Hayachid, he's in Rishus Rabim, so shouldn't it be valid? Why does Mishnah say that it is? And the answer is, Abar B'chana Omar, Ba'omer Shvisa Seitachtov, it's where the guy says that his Shvisa is in the bottom of the pit, which means he clearly stipulated that he wants his official Makam Shvisa to be inside the pit, so that means that he and his Eirov are in the same place. We can discuss the Mishnah, Nasa Bresha Kana, Bresha Kuntes, if he placed the Eirov at the top of a reed or a pole, calls Manchu Talish Venotes, as long as the reed or the pole was detached from the ground, then placed back in, so it doesn't have a root system, it was just stuck into the ground, Afil Gavaya Mea Ama, even if his Eirov is at 100 Amas height, I raise the Eirov, it's a valid Eirov. Now the Gemara makes a deal. Kumbineshu Talish Venotes, it seems to be the only reason why it's a valid Eirov is because this pole, this reed, was detached and stuck into the ground afterwards. I'm Eine Talish Venotes, Mashma, that if it wasn't detached and stuck into the ground, but it was still connected because it has its root system, ain't a ruva eruv, then it wouldn't be an eruv. And the problem with that is, less pligal Shmuel, is that not like the way Shmuel has explained the Mishnah? Demar v'yehuda b'shem Shmuel, v'yehuda said b'shem Shmuel, tifter, that we could explain the reason why the first case of the Mishnah, it's not a valid eruv when it's on a tree, is b'shayis ha'karos ha'arba, because the trunk of the tree was four tefachim wide, and that means the tree itself was rishus yachid, and he's rishus rabim, and that's why he's not able to get to it. But we had said then that if the tree wasn't four tefachim wide, that means that the tree is not Rishus Hayachid, then the only problem of taking his Eirov off the tree would be being Mishtamish Be'ilon. That's an Isser Drabanon, and as we had said a couple times already, that since the whole determination of whether or not his Eirov is valid is Bein Hashmashes, and there's no problem being over an Isser Drabanon Bein Hashmashes, so then it would be a valid Eirov, once again, because it's not four tefachim wide. And so seemingly, we should apply the same exact thing in the pole case. The pole is very thin and tall, it's not four tefachim wide, it's not Rishus Hayachid, so why is it Mashma that if the pole was attached to the ground, that the Eirov wouldn't be valid? So Rav Mani answers, we should take Tavla Nesuna Bereishai, it's referring to where there was a tavla, a board or a tray or something like that at the top of the pole, and we say good achas mechitzta, that the mechitzah is the walls, if you will, extend all the way downwards, and it's actually considered like Rishus Hayachid, so it would be the same thing as a tree, unless of course it's detached from the ground. And we go to the next case of Mishnah, where in Machloikes, Rabbanu Reb Elezer, if a person had put their Erev in a box, locked it up, and then lost the key. The Chacham say that it is still valid, whereas Blazer says, since he doesn't have access to his Erev, it's not valid. And now we continue discussing this, Tanu Reb Elezer, says, let's say he found the key. So in Besada Avad, if he had lost it in a field and he subsequently found it in the field, his Erev is not valid, whereas in Be'ir Avad, if he had lost the key in the city and he had obviously found it there, then it is a valid Erev. What's the difference? In Besada Avad, if it was lost in the field, it's not valid. That's because he can't bring it to his Makam Shvisa. He can't bring the key from the field to where his Makam Shvisa is, meaning to where his Erev is, and so that means that he doesn't have any access to his Erev. Whereas in Be'ir Avad, if he had lost the key in the city and then found it, it is valid, because he could bring it in a way that he'd be potter. This is according to Manda Amar that we're going to learn later on, that all the Gagos and Chatzeiros are all considered like one Rishos, and so there's a sneaky roundabout way that he could bring the key to where his Eirov is when it's in the city, and that's why it's valid. The Gemara continues discussing Yosam Reb Elazar. Reb Elazar seems to have a really good shita. He makes a lot of sense. If you can't access your Eirov because you don't have the key, so it's not valid. Matama de Rabbanu, what's the reason Rabbanu? Why do they allow it? So Reb Babri, Reb Papi suggests Reb Meir he. This is Shitas Reb Meir. Rav Meir Amar Rav Meir says Av Paichas Ubitchil Vanaitel, he could be Paichas Vanaitel. This comes from Maseches Beitza, where we have a house or a shed or a big room that inside there's a bunch of fruit, there's some produce, he wants to take it and he doesn't have a key, there's no way to access it, so he can actually be Paichas. He could remove a bunch of bricks from the wall, they're not actually cemented together, they're just laying one on top of another, but he could still be Paichas. He can remove some of those bricks, make a hole, and get the produce inside this room or inside this house. And that's what we would say over here, that he could be Paichas. He could break open this box or closet that his Erev is in, and that's not an issue. Ask the Gemara, Klum Amra Meir, Loi Be Yomtif. Didn't Rav Meir only say this on Yomtif? That's because Eichel Nefesh. You need food on Yomtif, so you could do certain things that usually would not be permitted on Shabbos. They're allowed to be done on Yomtif for food. But don't have a Shabbos? Do you think the Rav Meir would allow this even on Shabbos? V'halcha b'Shabbos an Ankaimen. Over here, we're talking about Shabbos. Why would it be permitted? As we have a different answer, Amra of Abba Mari, Rav Elezer ben Yaakov. Actually, the Rabban of our Mishnah is Rav Elezer ben Yaakov. The Tanin Taman, we have a Mishnah over there, Mizachas Shabbos. Rav Elezer ben Yaakov, Emer, he tells us, we can tie a rope or tie a door in front of an animal so it doesn't end up leaving. That's because you're constantly going to be opening and closing it. And so tying the knot is not considered like something that's kayama. It's not a long lasting thing. So it's no problem. And what do we learn from here? Chav Gimel Beis on top. Hikshira, hine'ila. Tying and closing is the same exact thing. And that's what we have over here. Our migdal, our box or closet that the erev is in, you're right that it's locked, but it's locked in a way that it could technically be undone, similar to the rope case of Masechah Shabbos that we just quoted. And therefore, there's no issue opening it according to the Chachamim. Now, we just have one more clarification between this machlokes, Rebbe Elazar and the Chachamim. Hadad Tamar, b'migdal shel evan. The whole machlokes is we're talking about a closet or a box or some sort of structure made out of stone. So the machlokes is there any way to access the erev? Avol migdal shel eitz. But if we're talking about something made out of wood, nasa k'shayver sechavis loichom imenu gregrois, then it's just like breaking a barrel in order to get to the dried figs inside. And Masechah Shabbos, we found this a number of different times that if there's a barrel that has figs in it, even on Shabbos, you're allowed to break it open in order to get to those figs. And our erev case would be no different if it's locked up in a wooden box. Moving on to Halacha Dalet, this Mishnah continues discussing erev, and once again, we're talking about erev tchumen, where he wants to extend his tchum. He wants to be able to walk more than 2,000 amos from his current makom shvisa. And as we've said, let's say the standard is that his makom shvisa is his house, and he wants to walk, let's say, 4,000 amos in one direction. So he walks about 2,000 amos from his house. Erev Shabbos places an erev down of food, and now he can walk from his house to his erev, and from his erev another 2,000 amos. And so now we're going to run into some troubleshooting issues. The Mishnah tells us nizgalgal chutz l'tchum. Let's say his erev ended up rolling outside the tchum. It rolled beyond 2,000 amos, or even a falal of gal. A whole pile fell on it, a whole bunch of dirt fell on it, let's say, a nisraf, or got burnt up, a truma v'nitmes, or let's say the erev was truma, because he's a kayin, according to everybody, this is okay, and then it became tamei, and we know that a kayin's not a tamei truma. Is the erev still kasher or not? The answer is, it depends. Mib'aydiyim and erev. If this happened mib'aydiyim, meaning this happened on Shabbos, it's not a valid erev, and that's pretty obvious. That's because if it rolled outside the tchum before Shabbos started, that means that Beinah Shmashes, his erev was beyond his grasp because it was beyond the tchum. His pile fell on it on Friday, and he would have to be over malacha de arayis to dig it out of the pile, or it got burnt up, so it's not even here. In all these cases, since Beinah Shmashes, he didn't have a valid erev, it's not an erev at all. However, Mishachashecha, if it happened only once it got dark, Hareza erev, it is a valid erev, because Beinah Shmashes, it was valid. Now that it happened afterwards, once Shabbos started, it's totally fine, even though the erev now isn't accessible, not a problem. Im Safek, let's say it's a Safek. So Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, Amrim, both of them say, Hareza Chamer Gamel. This guy is a donkey driver, camel driver. What does that mean? So when a guy leads a camel, he stands in front of it, but when he leads a donkey, he stands behind it. And therefore, imagine being a Chamer Gamel. You're leading a donkey and a camel. As we would say, you're stuck between a rock and a hard place, because on one hand, you have to be in front of one animal, but behind the other animal, which means you have to have a lot of space on both sides to make sure everything's okay, and that's being applied to over here. Since it's a Safek, says Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, and we don't know if his erev was valid, then we don't know if he has 2,000 amos from his house, which is his original makom shvisa, and we don't know if his new erev was valid, and if he really gets 2,000 amos from there and not from his house, and therefore he doesn't get 2,000 amos from either. And we're going to discuss this more in the Gemara. Now, Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Shimon, Imrim, they argue with Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, they say, Safek erev kosher. No, Safek erev, no problem, it's kosher. And we'll explain as well what they're talking about. Now, Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael says, Hey, Avtulos Mishum Chamisha Zakenim, Avtulos give Edis in the name of five Zakenim, Shasafek erev kosher, a Safek case of erev is kosher. And the Gemara says, And we clarify this machlokes loy amru ella v'nitmes. When Rameir and Rehudu were very machmer, and they said hareza chamer gamal, that this guy is stuck, that's only in regards to the case of nitmes, where let's say it was truma and it became tamei, now the kain's not able to eat it. Namely, safek nitmes by yom, safek nitmes mechashecha, if it's a safek, if it became tamei on erev Shabbos, or if it became tamei only once Shabbos started, so then we have to be machmer. Avolam haisa safek tahira safek tamea ma'arvin ba. But Rameir and Rehudu do agree that if it's a safek, whether or not it even became tamei in the first place, and that's our suffix, then they would agree that it is a valid Erov. Now, Shmuel Bar Nachman says, B'Shem Rabbi Yonasan, a different understanding of the Machlokes, Ach Chazakas Holchu, they're going after Chazaka. We have two different Chazakas that we're working with. There's Chazaka the Hashta. Right now, we know the Erov is Tamei, because let's say we see a dead Sheretz on the food. And so that Chazaka tells us, since right now it's Tamei, we would assume that it's always been Tamei, and therefore it's not valid. But we also have the Chazaka de Meikara, that when he placed the Erov down, it was 100% valid, and it wasn't Tamei, and only now he's discovering that it's Tamei. And that's the other tzad, that we would go with the Chazaka de Meikara, the common expression would be innocent until proven guilty. And here the Gemara speaks this out. Misivin Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yis, Rav Shimon, Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda ask Rav Yis and Rav Shimon, Ilu Nechamo Baidyayim, Shema Einoi Aser. Let's say somebody had come along and ate this Eruv before Shabbos started. Would you say it's not Aser? Of course it's Aser. A guy's walking along the road. He sees a bag of food, opens it up. There's a little note in there. This is so and so's Eruv. He doesn't care because he's hungry, so he eats the whole thing. If he did this before Shabbos, of course it's not a valid Eruv. There was no food here before Shabbos started, and therefore, says Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, and pay attention to the gears of switches. It's always considered usur, meaning we always assume that it's not a valid invalid Eruv until you know for sure that the Eruv made it successfully through the beginning of Shabbos. In other words, guilty until proven innocent. And that's why when it's a Safek, we have to be Machmer. Now the response to that is, Misivin Rabbi Yis Rab Shimon, Lermeir Rabbi Yuda, Rabbi Yis and Rabbi Shimon, they asked Rabbi and Rabbi Yuda, Ilu Necham Shechashecha, Shema Einoi Mutter. Let's say the Eruv was eaten after Shabbos started. Wouldn't it be Mutter? Of course it'd be Mutter. Ben HaShmashes, it was 100% valid Eruv. And therefore, La'ilam Hu, Behet Teiroi, Achiva Deloi, Shu Aser. We would say that it's always Mutter until you could determine that it's Aser. As we had said, innocent until proven guilty. And that's our Machlokes. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow, continue to discuss this. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.